Good morning, everyone. There goes Julie. Julie, I remember I was watching you up here that I was thinking about second grade teacher. I remember reading about a second grade teacher who was had taught her children about magnetism. And she waited a few sessions and then she had a pop quiz and asked the students, what goes around and picks up things? And the kids answered, "Mother." They didn't get it. Or maybe they did. You know, the three most beloved words in the English language, we've been told, is heaven, home, and mother. I don't know if you read the comics. I don't. I used to, but it's been a long time. But I know Mike, he enjoys, isn't it Calvin and Hobbes? He gets his Calvin and Hobbes fix at Christmas time. Anyway, Calvin once, on a Mother's Day, went to his mother's bedside and said, "Wake up, Mom. I've made you a Mother's Day card. And I did it all by myself, and I'd like you to read it." So here's what she read. "I was going to buy a card with hearts of pink and red, but then I thought I'd rather spend the money on me instead. It's awfully hard to buy things when one's allowance is so small, so I guess you're pretty lucky I got you anything at all. Happy Mother's Day. Now I've said it. Now I'm done. So how about getting out of bed and fixing breakfast for your son? Signed, Calvin." She said, "I'm deeply moved." He replied, "Did you notice the part about my allowance?" Mother's Day is a happy time. We celebrate that. We honor the mothers. And mothers, all the ladies here, whether you say, "Well, I haven't had children or going to have children, or I'm up to grandchildren, maybe great-grandchildren," you know, whatever, wherever you are and all of that. But know this, God made woman to be special. And there are special ways that woman expresses the very nature of God that men were not designed to do so, certainly not as well. When you throw out words like unconditional love, comfort, mercy, consoling one, being faithful through adversity, that word mother comes to surface. That word woman is there because therein is that special part of the image of God. So men and women are different. We're unique, special. But each of us in our own way, in our own design, are expressions of a wonderful, wonderful God. Having said that, I'm reading from Psalm 78. And there's a basic thought here, and that is there's something that needs to be threaded down from generation to generation. There's something, a legacy that we need to pass on. And our ability and our success in doing so means a lot to what future generations look like. If we go back a number of years, we say, "Well, back when I was a kid, you know, this is the way things were." Walt's laughing. That's way back when you go there. But anyway, a lot of changes. And I say, are they good? Well, some are good. Some aren't so good. And some of the things that I can remember, we wouldn't even talk about, we would never do, we'd never seen, we didn't know anything about, you certainly wouldn't try it, is now supposedly to be accepted and tolerated. And it's been handed down. So the world and the schooling of the world is not designed to hand down God's values. The world is not on God's team. The world is part of darkness, controlled by the ruler of darkness, the father of lies, a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And if we go there to get our moral values and our moral compass, things are going to go askew. We're going to go off limit, off track. And we've certainly done that. And so we continue to say, well, the only way back is to go back and find out, what does God want? What does God say about living this life? So there's some basic things that need to happen. And let's look at Psalm 78. Oh, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to my words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation. What are we going to tell them? The praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established a law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and you would find that. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God, would not forget his deeds, and would keep his commandments. You see the legacy here of passing along, of encouraging, of admonishing, of teaching, of training, so that God becomes the center of the life, center of the home, center of society. Who's going to do that? Who has the ability to do that? Well, all of us have the God-given ability and a mandate to do that, to pass on to our children, and we do that as a church and ministry, and we should do that as in our schooling. We certainly should do it in our homes. But what one person is in the best position to do that? Mother. To know the standards of God and to pass them on from generation to generation. I don't know if you've heard the name Rosalie Elliott, probably not. A number of years ago, she was in the National Spelling Bee. She was in the fourth round, and she was given a word, a vowel. And she spelled it, but she had kind of a soft southern voice. And the judges thought, did she say A or E? Next to the last letter in the word, did she say A-L or E-L? And they couldn't tell. And they got out the recording. They listened to the recording, and they couldn't tell. And so everything kind of came to a halt. And finally, the only one person who knew the answer of what was said was Rosalie. And they asked her. And she said, I spelled it incorrectly. And 50 reporters and the whole audience stood and applauded. And you can't remember who won the spelling bee, because it was all about Rosalie and this word, integrity. Integrity, wholesomeness, honesty, doing the right thing. She could have easily said, oh, I said A-L. She knew what was the right spelling. But her upbringing, her training, said, I need to do the right thing. I need to say the right thing. I need to answer properly and I spelled it incorrectly. Abraham Lincoln was once riding with a colonel in a stagecoach. The colonel says, "Well, do you smoke?" "No." "Do you drink?" "No, don't do that either." "Well, how come?" He said, "When I was 9 years old, I was at the side of my sick mother's sick bed of my mother, and she said, 'I want the one thing I want you to promise me, never to smoke and never to drink.' And he said, 'I have kept that.' He said, 'Would you have me break it now?" The colonel said, "I would pay $1,000 if I could step back in time and make that promise to my mother." There's a lot of meaning of what we hand off day by day, month by month, year by year, of who we are and what we're about, and the kind of legacy of a lifestyle that's either tracking with God, or it's over here and over there and back and forth, or it's not with God at all. And yet we expect our next generation, we say, "I don't know what's wrong with them. I don't know why they don't get it. It just seems like they just can't quite get a hold of something." Well, there's only really one avenue of truth. There's only one standard that's going to be stable, and that is God's standard. And those principles, those standards need to be passed on from generation to generation. And the best ones who's available to do that is mother. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is a well-known passage, but there's about three principles here that apply to everyone, but as they're written here, we see them applied to mothers. I'm in 2 Timothy eventually, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, he's writing a letter, to Timothy, my dear son. Now, Timothy isn't his son as such, his son in spiritual matters. He's the mentor of Timothy. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Never read those too fast, read them slow. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. There's the fountain. There's what everybody's looking for, can't seem to find. And yet there they are in those opening words. But sometimes we breeze right by them because we want to get to the text of the letter. Well, here it comes. I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Can you see the legacy? Do you see the thread? Do you see what's been handed down? There's Eunice. There's Lois, the grandmother. We need to honor grandmothers and grandfathers, you know, but today is grandmothers. You know, I read of a seven-year-old, he went to his grandmother's bed as she was waking up and said, "I made you coffee." So she drank the coffee, and it was the worst coffee she'd ever had. And she got near the bottom of the cup, and she found three little green men, army men, in the bottom. She said, "What in the world? Why are these three little soldiers in the bottom of my cup?" "Well," he said, "I saw it on TV. The best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup." Grandmothers will endure anything. Should have had them sooner, right? We love every minute and the joy they bring and watching them grow up. Being part of their life is part of that legacy of handing them something. What are we giving away? Let's give them the right thing. Let's bless them in a very special way. Let's give them Jesus. Let's give them God. Let's give him his standards, his values. And in that, they will find the right type of happiness that's long-lasting, not short-lived, not temporary, not something that just happens now and yay, it's over, and then what happens? We hit rock bottom again because it has... There's nothing in it that's lasting. There's no fiber to it and fabric to it that's going to build our soul. The only thing that does that is walking and talking with God. Grandmothers give that to their daughters, and their daughters give that to their children, and we pass it along as part of our legacy. So let's just look at three little things really quickly that are just kind of review of some basic priorities that not only apply to mothers, it applies to fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers. Whether you're part of a family or not, you're part of this family, and therefore you're part of the church, and therefore we have a culture here. And in all of that, we're trying to have the kind of fertile field where God is the center post and is receiving the glory and honor, and his ways are the ways that we're going to teach. That's going to start in the pulpit, but it needs to go to the homes. It needs to go into lives. And then it needs to be passed on as a legacy to children. 2 Timothy chapter 3, one page in my Bible. I'm in verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. This is Paul talking to Timothy and saying, you know, you know all the things I've gone through. No mystery here. Persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse. Think the world's getting better? I don't think so. And I don't need my Bible to tell me that. Do you? Deceiving and being deceived. But, as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. It's your conviction. Therefore, it's incorporated into your lifestyle. It's who you are. It's not a Sunday go-to-meeting belief system. It's a lifestyle that says, I am this way 24/7, 365. This is who I am. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I was buried in baptism so that I died. I rose to walk in newness of life. In his grace I live. And yet it's not me that lives. It's Christ Jesus that lives in me. That's my lifestyle. And therefore I place my life on an altar before him every day, every hour. I'm his vessel. Convinced of, because you know those things, those from whom you learned it. Well, who was that anyway? He doesn't name any names here. Well, I think we found the names earlier, didn't we? Sure we did. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. What kind of training should we teach? Well, we can use Dr. Seuss, and we can use C. Jane Run and those little books that I used to had to learn how to read from. But when do we teach them the Scriptures? You know, a Jewish boy started his instruction when he was age 5. And we run over there to Psalms, and we read all the great Psalms, and we say, boy, these are just wonderful things. They memorized them. They knew most of them. Many, many Psalms were what they would sing at every Passover and every feast. They knew them all by heart. Teach them the scriptures. Teach them the ways of God. Then it says this, able to make you wise for salvation through Christ, faith in Christ Jesus. What's the next step in teaching them the scriptures? Teach them about Jesus. Help them understand the need for a Savior. Exemplify the lifestyle of being a woman of God that says, follow me. You know, how many are out there who say, you know, I would do that, but it would be a great disappointment if my grandma ever found out. No? I think so. Few things I did, I'm glad my mother didn't find out. I lived right next to a bamboo patch, which is very convincing if she found out. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness, because I forgot to ask for permission. We need a Savior. And these children growing up, we want them to be successful. We want them to get education. We want this, we want that, we need something else. But if we don't give them the scriptures, if we don't give them a Savior, what do they have? They have only what is temporary, only what is going to last that long, and it's gone. Where's the legacy? The legacy is giving them Jesus. And then it says, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Scripture, Savior, service. What are you about? Thoroughly equipped for every good work that's pleasing to God. You know, there's an old Spanish proverb that says that an ounce of mother is worth more than a pound of clergy. Don't spread that around, but that's kind of... I read of a man who got on the plane. And as he was getting on the plane, of course, the cockpit crew was there. And he noticed that the head pilot was a woman. That was fine. Went and got a seat. And behind him, directly behind him, was this young boy who was about 6 or 7 years old. And next to him was a 30-year-old husband or so, a man. And then there was a 60-ish woman. And he noticed that couldn't but help overhear their conversation, that as they talked, that he came to a conclusion this was the pilot's family. And this was her first flight as head pilot. And they were there to honor her. And then the plane taxied, roared down the runway, airborne. And the son, he just couldn't help it. He just applauded. Way to go, Mom! Way to go! Way to go, mothers. May God bless you to be His people and all of us in His service. Teach the scriptures. Bring them to Jesus. Equip them for service that they can honor you. May God bless you. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we have mothers and women, grandmothers, people that really want to serve you and honor you and have open hearts to be your vessel. Fill them, Lord, with that special love and mercy and grace that's expressed through them. Bless, Lord, that all of us can leave a legacy of faith for the next generation. we can show them the way, teach them the way, encourage and admonish them. And Lord, that they might someday rise up and say, I am who I am because of the people who went before me. Give us that grace. Bless us to our homes. Thank you for today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.